Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Late in the afternoon, a little older, be turning the clocks back soon, but you can't turn the clocks back, can you?
Singer Tracy Thorne may seem a little glum about the passage of time, but so far, 2010 has produced a winning crop of music. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and ahead today, a halftime report on the best music of 2010. And later, DeLorean, the alternative dance band from Barcelona, Spain, joins us to play live. To begin, with the year half over, consumers are buying less music. Sales are down 11% from this same point a year ago, according to Nielsen SoundScan. Even digital sales, on a steady growth streak since 2004, have hit a plateau. But all is not gloomy. Whether it's pop, rock, hip-hop, jazz, or classical music, there are many albums to get excited about. And to give us their best of the year so far, we're joined by a couple of critics. First up, with some highlights in the world of pop music, is Maura Johnston, freelance music writer and occasional guest on Soundcheck. Maura, there's no two ways about it. The facts are the facts. It's an off year again, sales for music. But what kind of year has it been artistically?
I think it's been really great artistically. There are so many records that I've been excited about. You know, it's really interesting. Maybe the depressed sales are just making everybody more creative. I don't know. But this is a year where there are so many songs and albums coming out that are really just fascinating. And the great thing, too, is that it's this wide breadth. I mean, I talk to, you know, other music writers, and they'll all have different top 10 lists of what's really excited them. And that's exciting, too, because it's things that I haven't heard. So It sort of branches out.
Well, we were just hearing from Tracy Thorne, the former lead singer of Everything But the Girl.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about her album, a very critically acclaimed record called Love and Its Opposite?
I think it's a really beautiful album. You know, Tracy Thorne, this is her third solo record. And it's just like, she talked about it. She said it's a record about being in your 40s. And it's full of all of these amazing little details. The first single that came out from it was the song Oh, the Divorces, which had this really great line that was just so harrowing about the handoffs by the swings that divorcing couples with children have to do. And it's just full of all of these little nuggets that really, you know, personalize the record, but also make it very relatable. It's not, you know, grand pop statements, mm-hmm. but like that makes it so much better. And there are so many times when I've just compared listening to it being punched in the stomach repeatedly, but in a good way.
Gee,
I want to say
fun.
In a good way. You know, it's an emotional wallop.
Well, as we heard at the very beginning of the show, listening to her song Late in the Afternoon, it's mm-hmm. kind of an intimate.
Yeah.
Form of pop music,
definitely,
I suppose.
Definitely.
But also on your list, and Maura's full list is on the Soundcheck page of our website, is something at the opposite end of the emotional spectrum: the big, expansive personality of Big Boy.
Big Boy, yeah, from Outkast. Mm-hmm. This is his first solo album, Sir Luscious Left Foot, the son of Chico Dusty. And this is an album that's actually been in the works for a really long time. He's been working on it since about 2007. And he actually changed labels midway through because the label that it was originally on deemed it not commercial enough.
Mm.
But you listen to it, and it might not be commercial enough, but it's really great. It's full of all these influences. There's classical and electro and hip-hop, and his rhymes are just so innovative. And he has some guests on it, including Janelle Monáe, who I think we'll be talking about later in the show.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just this record that is just full of surprises and really, really fun to listen to. And his wordplay is just so intricate and great.
So he came to national attention as half of the Atlanta rap duo Outkast. Now he's off on his own. This is Big Boy from the album Sir Luscious Left Foot, the son of Chico Dusty.
I just put the shut up buzz. I'm double fisted and you empty, you can grab a club. Boy, stop, I'm just playing, let me dab you up.
You're in my sister.
Why? It's
after 12 club like a high B. A beehive cause not everybody buzzing around me. Could it be the way that the verses sounding came up on the ghetto boys and the underground king? Toys I had a chrome calling pretty brown thing. Pink looked like Rubia when the sun was shining. Known to keep a bad bitch, no niggas beside me. And that finger on the trigger case niggas is clowning. Not to flex but to protect my neck like the Wu-Tang. Self-preservation is the rule when you do aim. Or getting something more sinister, you gotta be the finisher. Make it so the doctors they can't replenish him. Or bring him back to life. Back to reality. Gon' get on some hoes, leave it alone. Triple OG status, A-Town's very own.
A little shout out to the Wu-Tang Clan in that song by Big Boy, half of the group Outkast. His solo record is called Sir Luscious Left Foot, the son of Chico Dusty. And that's on Maura Johnston's list of the best of the year so far in 2010. There was a debut album from yet another much hyped, much buzzed about Brooklyn band, and that was Sleigh Bells.
This is Treats by the duo Sleigh Bells. Yeah, this record is just so intense. It's all these most of the songs on it, I should say, are super peaked out, really metallic, highly compressed guitar, and then there's this very distorted voice of a woman singing over it. And it's just, it's like listening to somebody experience a sugar rush for, you know, the whole thing. It's really just fun and live. They're so great. And I saw them at South by Southwest, and it was one of the most energetic live sets I've ever seen.
So they're able to produce that kind of noise pop sound that you get on the record
on stage
as well?
Yeah, everything is in the red. It's really amazing.
let's see what it does to the meters in our studio as we play a little bit from this band, Sleigh Bells, and the song Rill Rill. Sleigh Bells is the band out of Brooklyn, and the album is called Treats, and it's on Maura Johnston's halftime list halfway through the year. Some of her favorites so far. That doesn't sound all that noisy.
That's actually the one sort of outlier on the record, and I love that song, but you know, the rest of it is very sort of high energy and top volume.
Okay, Sleigh Bells, sort of critical darlings, maybe not, you know, on the grand global stage, where you do find some of the other names on your list. Robin, the Swedish songstress, really making a name for herself on this side of the Atlantic now.
Well, it's interesting. She actually made a name for herself over here back in the 90s. She was sort of a teen pop star in the mold of a Britney Spears. She worked with Max Martin. And then she sort of broke free from that and started putting out, writing her own songs and producing her own records on a label that she called Konnichiwa Records. She had a self-titled debut album come out a couple of years ago, and it finally, after a long, circuitous journey around the world, came out here. But Body Talk Part 1 is the record of hers that came out a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually the first in a trilogy of albums that'll be coming out over the next year. And it's just, I mean, she writes these really wonderful pop songs that are, you know, at their essence, just really full of fire and sass. And even when she's really sad, she has this emotion within her that has this really incredible strength. I think that she's really one of the most interesting pop figures that's around right now.
Robin is her name, R-O-B-Y-N. Some Swedish pop from the album called Body Talk, Part 1.
Love you better than I can.
from Sweden. That is the singer Robin. Her album is called Body Talk Part 1. It's on Maura Johnston's list of the best of the year so far. John from Brooklyn leaves this comment on the Soundcheck page. Robin's album Body Talk Part 1 is at the top of my list so far. Hopefully her next two albums, Body Talk Part 2 and Part 3, will also top my list by the end of the year. This was a good start for her, part one,
wasn't
it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And she set the bar pretty high with her last record, too, so it's nice to see her just vaulting right over it.
Okay, so relative newcomer, though, Robin, at least to these shores, Erykah Badu on your list is an R&B veteran.
Yes.
And someone who's been a bit of a provocateur, especially
you could say that,
recently.
Yes, with the video for her single Window Seat off of her album New America Part 2.
Where she's basically
nude. Yeah, where she sort of strips down and, you know, that caused a lot of controversy. I remember, I think it was on like Fox 5. I saw it teased after American Idol one night and it was like, Erykah Badu's provocative new video. And I was like, this is great publicity for her album because it's so good. So, you know, she had New America Part 1 came out last year and it was this sort of apocalyptic look at war and politics, and this is her love record, and so it's a lot more hazy, but it has all these moments of real beauty.
And as with Robin, these albums are in parts.
They're
it's a series.
Yes.
And this is this is New America with Erykah's name.
Right.
Part two.
Yeah.
All right, and the song called "Turn Me Away." Erykah Badu from her album New America Part 2 and the song Turn Me Away. And once again, you can find Maura Johnston's complete list of favorite albums and singles of the year so far on our website. And you can tell us what you like so far in music this year. Go to WNYC.org/soundcheck. We're speaking with Maura Johnston so far, but let me also bring in now Steve Smith, who is music editor at Time Out New York and classical music critic at the New York Times. And we'll get to his list in a moment, which, Steve, in a funny way, is kind of connected to Maura's list.
We had a little bit of discussion over Twitter about this, actually, because one of her choices very nearly made mine. That was The Big Boy. One of my choices very nearly made her list. And
I think it actually the Janelle Monáe you're talking about.
Exactly.
I'm looking at Maura's full list on the web page, and I see Janelle Monáe there. So
yeah.
There's some common ground here. Before we leave you behind, Maura, and get to Steve's list, I wanted to ask both of you about some of the big music stories of the year. We mentioned at the top of the show sales of music recordings are down 11%, but the summer of 2010 is going to become known, if things don't change, as the summer of the big cancellations. There's all kinds of, Lilith Fair with over a dozen cancellations. U2, Christina Aguilera, Limp Bizkit. What's going on?
Well, the U2 thing was because Bono had a back injury.
Yeah.
But, the American Idols tour just canceled a bunch of dates. I mean, I think part of it is just that prices for tickets are really high. And people can't really afford. I mean, I went to see Lady Gaga
but
the other night.
Are the profit margins so slim that the producers of the concerts can't slash ticket prices and still make a go of it?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, there has been this sort of deep discounting that's been going on. If you follow Live Nation on Facebook, every day...
No, I don't.
Well, you know, but, like, for people who do, if you follow them on Facebook, every day they're saying, hey, these tickets to this show at the Jones Beach Theater out on Long Island have been reduced to $10 two days beforehand.
Your $10 lawn seat specials. Same
exactly.
With the PNC if you want to drive all the way out to, you know, Saskatchewan, where that's located.
And this is something that happened... this is a trend that started last year with Live Nation sort of dropping fees on a lot of its
tickets.
Let
me just say, Live Nation is the concert promoter,
yes.
Huge behemoth company.
And, you know, I think people are starting to get used to this sort of, like, Filene's Basement Century 21 mentality of, oh, well, you know, if I can't afford these tickets now, they'll probably be discounted at a future date anyway. But that's not good for advanced sales of tickets, and that's not good for, you know, ticket places being like, well, are we going to sell enough seats to make this a profitable venture?
And it's not just in the pop music world, Steve. I mean, the Los Angeles Opera, you know, this big presentation of Wagner's Ring Cycle, the four operas that can really put an opera company on the international map. By all accounts, splendid production, if controversial. There's $6 million in a hole.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, but in that particular case, you know, you can almost view that deficit as being sort of an investment in terms of Domingo getting the Los Angeles
Placido
Opera.
Placido Domingo, who runs the LA
exactly,
Opera.
Getting the company taken seriously as a genuine artistic innovator, as a going concern. I mean, yes, there was lots and lots and lots of negative or middling press about the money being thrown away, about the production being dangerous for aging singers, about Wagner's, you know, anti-Jewish tendencies, all kinds of negativity. And the fact of the matter is, it was a PR bonanza for the company. They got people in the seats, you know, and there was a lot of buzz around it that went beyond the little classical niche as well. I mean, for instance, the LA Times, in a very inspired move, sent Ann Powers to be one of their reviewers. Ann Powers, the pop music critic, formerly of the New York Times. So, again, it was the kind of buzz that I think, in the long run, is going to get Domingo's company taken a little more seriously. And in that respect, I do think it was an investment.
But an investment they could ill afford to make when they have a county bond floated just to keep the company going. So $6 million investment comes at a difficult time for the LA Opera, but they did get through it. The complete set of Wagner's operas known as the Ring Cycle. And here's just a little bit, and actually as we hear this, let me thank you, Maura Johnston, for sharing your list of the best of the year so far with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Steve Smith, we'll get to your list in just a moment. Up next, more picks for the best music of the year so far. You can leave your picks on the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. And then coming up later, live music from the Barcelona club music crew known as DeLorean. They're coming up later on Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
My favorite world music album so far this year is Ali and Toumani, which is, in effect, the musical last will and testament of the great Malian blues guitarist Ali Farka Touré with his countryman Toumani Djabate, widely considered to be the greatest living master of the West African kora. Check it out.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Cause baby, whether you're high or low, or whether you're high or low, you got to chip on the tightrope. Baby, whether you're high or low, baby, whether you're high or low, you got to chip on the tightrope. Now let me see you do the tightrope.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. 2010 so far, an abundant year for classical music, jazz, electropop, and joining us now, or rejoining us now, with his picks of the year so far is Steve Smith, music editor of Time Out New York and writes about classical music for the New York Times. This is Janelle Monáe, Steve. We were talking about this a few minutes ago. And talk about connections to Maura Johnston's pop list. This song, Tightrope, features Big Boy.
Exactly, exactly. Big Boy was a very big part in getting Janelle Monáe out in front of people, as was Diddy, who I believe checked into Janelle on Big Boy's suggestion. She's got a real team behind her, and this record was sort of... It was exciting watching Atlantic Records, if I can deviate into industry stuff for a minute. It was actually exciting watching the label building this record up, because it really felt like for the first time in, I think, in a while, a major label was saying, yes, here's a record we believe in, and we're going to pump a lot of money into promoting it. We're going to build it up in advance. We're going to basically invest in this artist's future. It was an exciting process to watch, and the record bears it out.
And Janelle Monáe touring with Erykah Badu from Maura's list.
Touring with Erykah Badu, but then turning around, and she's about to tour with Of Montreal, a glam rock band that she's worked with before and that appears on the record.
Now, let me ask you about this whole robot thing. I mean, Christina Aguilera's gone down that route. Janelle Monáe, you know, it's kind of like a concept behind this album of hers. You know, we're seeing this kind of feminist slash robot thing in like three or four pop records this year. What's going on?
I have very little idea why it has spread beyond Janelle's thing. Janelle was actually on this robot thing a few years ago. It started with the first of her records, the EP. And, you know, for her, I think it has to do with feeling desensitized, defeminized, objectified within the larger society, and her response against it. The whole record, both of her records now, are kind of about transcending societal pressures and flourishing through the power of music and art and imagination. And that's really what the record is about. And, you know, maybe Christina and some others are just kind of getting on that tip.
Well, Robin, the Swedish pop singer that we heard a few minutes ago, you know, the word fembot, you know?
That's exactly right. She's the third one of the trilogy.
Yeah. All right, Steve, moving along, we come to Chris Lightcap, New York bass player, composer, and an album called Deluxe. What's distinctive about this?
Well, there are a lot of distinctive things about it. I think Chris is a great writer. He puts really smart bands together. And in a year where there have been a number of strong jazz albums already, including one by Steve Coleman and one by Paul Motion that you featured earlier this week, one of the things that stands out about Chris's record is that I've been waiting for it since 2003 when his last record came out. So it's really long overdue. I'm really happy that this Portuguese label, Clean Feed, which has become arguably the leading progressive jazz label in the world, or certainly in New York.
Very quickly, too.
Very, very quickly. They put out this record, Deluxe. Fantastic band, and actually an expanded version of what Chris's band sounds like.
This is Chris Lightcap and a piece called Fuzz from his album Deluxe on this Portuguese Clean Feed record label. Chris Lightcap, New York bassist and composer. Interesting band. It's bass and drums and two tenor saxes, Steve.
And occasionally an alto and a little bit of electric piano from Craig Taborn. And He's got a terrific cast of soloists on here. So, you know, he's a strong writer, but he's also got soloists who have something to say when they've got the opportunity to stretch out. You mentioned what's special about this, and I think the way I would sum it up is that you hear a lot in contemporary jazz about young players who are bringing in new influences, a little borrowing from African music, a little bit of rock, a little bit of funk, a little bit of whatever. All of these things are in Chris Lightcap's music, and definitely you notice a lot of it in Deluxe, but none of it really stands out as anything other than here's Chris Lightcap's music and this is the way he hears the world. It's all very, very well integrated.
We're looking at some of the best of the year so far in the music of 2010. DK in Brooklyn says, hey, what about rock and roll? Rock icon Jeff Beck released an album this year, Emotion Commotion, breaking down boundaries between rock, classic, and techno. Jeff Beck does it again. Speaking of classic, Yuja Wang, part of this enormous horde of gifted classical musicians coming out of China. What makes Yuja Wang stand out from that crowd?
Well, she has the astonishing technique that we've come to expect from the crop you're alluding to, Lang Lang first, followed by Yundi Li, or, you know, now Yundi.
Yundi, as he's now known.
And, you know, there is definitely a sense that Yuja could be molded into that sort of extraordinary superstar excitement vein, and she's got the capability. I mean, her technical chops are simply staggering. There are moments on this new record of hers where I wonder if it really is just one pianist in the studio. And that's certainly true of the Petrushka arrangement for solo pianist. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. But one of the things that I like best about Yuja is that she doesn't just go into the studio and record pieces. She really makes these thoughtful records. This one, Transformations, is thematically linked pieces, you know, by Ravel and by I believe Scarlatti and Brahms, if I'm remembering correctly, mm-hmm. Where the idea behind every piece is that something basic is transformed into something else. It may be something flamboyant or it may be something simply different, but there's an idea behind the album and a variety that runs through it at the same time.
Well, you mentioned Petrushka. She does the three movements from Petrushka, including this Danse Russe. Here is Yuja Wang. Danse Russe, the Russian dance, from Stravinsky's Petrushka. Three movements from Petrushka arranged for solo piano. Yuja Wang from an album called Transformations, and that is on Steve Smith's list of the best music of the year so far. His full list, again, is on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. We can't get to everything. I do want to mention Scott Johnson, the electric guitarist and composer, and a very interesting piece called Americans. But the one we're going to end with is Matt Marks, also based here in New York, and an album called The Little Death. And what is it with all these volumes? This is volume one, so presumably volumes two and three to come.
I understand that volume two has actually, they've begun recording it as of last week, according to the Twitter feed.
Okay. What is The Little Death all about?
Well, the phrase that keeps getting bandied about in press materials and repeated by publications is that it is a post-Christian nihilist pop opera, which is something that you could really only expect from somebody as bright as Matt Marks, who is mainly known for being a performer and an arranger in the group Alarm Will Sound. So he comes out of a classical background, but with extremely Catholic, if you'll pardon the term, tastes. Mm-hmm. And what this is it's basically a two-person opera for himself and Melissa Hughes, a soprano who you might have heard in mm-hmm. Signal just recently. And it's about a boy and a girl who come from a fundamentalist Christian, very strict evangelical background, and basically they are encountering the temptation of sins of the flesh for the first time. So Matt has created this sort of pop opera in which it's rigorously constructed as any classical piece would be, but most of his material comes from electronica, hip-hop, and especially gospel.
Mm-hmm. So it's the battle of hormones versus this kind of fundamentalist background that these kids are growing up with.
Exactly right.
And it's called The Little Death, Volume 1 by Matt Marks.
I don't have any fun on my own. I don't have any fun on my own. If you want to have fun, fall in love with me. If you want to have fun, fall in love with me. With me, with me, with me, with me.
I don't want, I don't want, I don't want you. I don't want, I don't want, I don't want you. I don't want, I don't want, I don't want you.
Just a little bit from the piece called The Little Death, Volume 1 by Matt Marks, which opens tonight here in New York at Incubator Arts Project, which is at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery, and runs through July 17th. And Steve Smith is a fan, thinks this is one of the best records of the year so far. Composed, but using the language of pop and gospel. And Steve, an interesting way to leave it. Thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck.
Thanks as always.
Still to come, as the Spanish soccer team prepares for this weekend's World Cup final, we'll hear from some former Spanish punk rockers who've now embraced dance music. DeLorean plays live in our studio up next.
I don't have any fun.